lights. Camera. Action. It's the KSL Movie Show.
That is a stupid design, and your instructions were very unclear.
The week's big movie review, movie news, games, and prizes. Here's Andy Farnsworth and Steve Sales.
These curious creatures crawl, creep, and climb their way through life.
On KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
I love stories based on, movies and shows that are based on true stories, because there's always just that element, you know, it's too good to be true, or you couldn't put this in a, you wouldn't believe it if it was in a movie. And sometimes things happen in real life that are so fantastic that if you thought it was made up, you just like, I can't accept that. But when it is based on a true story, it goes above and beyond, and then I think it hits you in the heart like way more.
Well, I like the difference between based on, inspired by.
I know. That's, unfortunately, we're to that point where you have to read what, if it's inspired by true events, based on a true story, inspired by a true story. And actually, we will have to parse through that just a little bit in what we're talking about today. Our big movie of the week that is sponsored by Paris RV. Paris RV has over 1,200 RVs in stock ready for your outdoor adventures. They're sure to have the RV you're looking for, so check them out at any of their four locations or go online at parisrv.com. And our big movie of this week, Steve, is Arthur the King.
You want to start to embrace the buckets of pain?
I need a bigger bucket.
Team Broad Rail has traveled over 200 miles, and they found a companion.
Think you found a new partner in suffering, Michael.
Yeah, he's the king.
I think we should call him Arthur.
Arthur the King.
Now, that was Bear Grylls that was a narrator, right?
Yes, I think he is in this.
Okay, so we've got Mark Wahlberg is playing a guy named Michael Light. Now, this is based, again, on a true story. The events happened. They tweaked a couple of the names, but I believe the location is
that's
truly
accurate.
Where it
yeah.
happened.
He was supposed to be Swedish.
Yeah, and but, you know, Mark Wahlberg is not Swedish. He's very Boston Irish.
If they'd have tried to pull that, he'd have been like the Swedish chef.
That might have been. Birdie Target Fruity. Wow, we're derailed already. No, so Mark Wahlberg plays Michael Light, and he's an aging athlete who puts together a team for one last chance to try to compete at, hang on, I want to pull up exactly what it is.
It's Adventure
Racing World Championships, and they're going to happen in the Dominican Republic. Right. And that's a 450-mile endurance race over literally any and all terrain.
Pretty much.
Liquid or solid. It involves hiking, mountain biking, climbing, kayaking. Well, midway through the race, this dog starts tagging along, or they see it at one of their stops. And then, you know, they forget about it. They feed him a couple of meatballs. But then suddenly, 200 miles later, the dog shows up. And after they've ziplined and done a whole bunch of things,
how
and they're
the
like,
heck did he get
how it? Is this dog here? And boy, does it really want another meatball.
But you know, that's why they call him Arthur, because he sits back. He doesn't beg. You know, he just, like, waits for them to, like, okay, here you go. And he's so noble about not begging, that's why they call him Arthur.
Verily regal.
Yes.
I like that.
A regal pooch.
Well, so anyway, as Arthur starts tagging along, all of a sudden they're motivated, they're inspired, and then it kind of helps the team and Michael and the dog to bond in a way that they never imagined.
Yeah, and there's some life-saving moments in this as well. The dog seems to know where he's going. I don't know if he's ever been through.
I kind of wish that one of the cool moments wasn't in the trailer.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. So I was going to say, if you're excited to see this after we talk about it, don't watch the trailer, because I think one of the cooler moments of the movie is given away in the trailer.
Yeah, no, I came out of this movie going, well, they made me cry.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, I don't like crying.
My kids said, Dad, are we going to be sad at the end of this movie? I said, kids, it's a movie involving a pet. There's a 50-50 chance you could be sad at the end of this.
And I know most people want to know, well, does the dog make it? I don't think I can tell you, because it's so integral to the story.
But just know that it could go either way.
Yeah, well, that's helpful.
But I will say this. I felt it. And I wouldn't have connected, I don't think, to this story the same way before we had dogs. We got dogs about 3 years ago. And I wasn't anti-people having pets. I was just anti-us having a pet. But we broke down. And so having a dog and then watching this, you know, I felt it in a different way. And in a good way. In a different way.
Well, I think most people that do, no matter what kind of pet you have, if that pet is in peril, you feel it.
Yeah.
And that's what this movie does. I was surprised at how well they created that. I mean, the dog was unbelievable.
Well, and I liked Simu Liu is in it, one of the Kens, and Shang-Chi, and then Natalie Emmanuel, who I believe is in the Fast and Furious franchise right now, I think.
Maybe.
But either way, they both do a good job. They're members of the team. Everybody kind of has something that they're hoping to prove as part of this adventure racing
Even
team.
Even Ali Suleiman, who played Chick, the guy with the knee issue.
Yeah. I didn't know him.
Yeah, he's been in a lot of Middle Eastern kind of movies.
Ah, okay. Well, but anyway, for this one for me, I think Mark Wahlberg plays a character with the style that makes him easy to root for, which you need to have.
Yeah.
And he goes through an arc because he's not easy to root for at the beginning of the movie.
No.
But he grows into that. And my whole family enjoyed it. I really liked it. I give it a B+.
I gave it a B+ as well. It's not doing that well, though. Rotten Tomatoes is like 50-50 on it.
Really?
Yeah.
That surprises me a little bit.
I thought so, too. They said, oh, it's cliched. Blah, blah, blah.
Again, it's a true story. It doesn't matter how cliched it is if it actually happened.
That's true.
That's how I feel. That's why I say if this was a story, and this is why when I say true stories are better because there's some things where you're just like, okay, you're just doing that to tug on my emotions. But if it really happened, it's not an intentional tug on the emotions.
Yeah, but sometimes it's the way they tell the true story.
That's true.
If they tug away, you know, and it feels a little cheap or cheesy, then that kind of diminishes the product, I think.
Well, but either way, I guess, you know, if you have pets, I think you'll like it.
It got to me.
It's a sports movie that I always like those.
Yeah, and Wahlberg's good at that because he's an athlete. You know,
he's a believable athlete.
Yeah.
For me, Arthur the King, B+, you B+.
B+.
It is rated PG-13, and it is only in theaters. Other things we've got to talk about on the movie show today. We've got another true story that we'll talk about a little bit later with Anthony Hopkins called One Life.
Yeah.
Oh. We've got
it the British Schindler.
The British Schindler.
Yeah.
Okay, I can exactly see where they're going. I actually was thinking it was Schindler Light.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about that when we get to it. We also have Kristen Stewart's Sundance movie, Love Lies Bleeding.
Mm.
We've got the American Society of Magical Negroes, which is a satire, but also kind of a genuine. We'll talk about that when we get to it too. Yeah. And then we have one called Snack Shack, which is about a couple of kids in the early 90s, the exact age I was in the year that this movie is set. We've got on streaming Manhunt.
Manhunt, yes. It's like an 8 or 9 part series of the 12 days after Lincoln was assassinated, chasing up Mr. Booth.
The Manhunt for John Wilkes Booth. We've also got...
Detailed.
Apple spent some money on this.
They did.
We've got Apples Never Fall, a series on Peacock that stars Sam Neill and...
Annette Bening.
And, well, we'll get to all that. We've got The Bloody Hundredth.
Bloody Hundredth, yeah. This is... Actually, I think if you're watching Masters of the Air, by the way, this is the final episode.
Aired this weekend.
You might want to start with, if you haven't started watching that... Watch this Bloody 100th. It's about these guys.
This is the true story part that the Masters of the Air is based on.
And it's only an hour long, so you
it's
watch.
It's a documentary, correct?
It is.
Okay.
It's voiced by.
Masters of the Air, not a documentary if you haven't watched it.
No. But this kind of sets the stage for you, so you'll know some of the characters, these real people that were involved in the 100th Squadron that took a lot of casualties in World War II.
And speaking of that time period, we also have, and this is a great companion to our Oscar winner, Oppenheimer, which, by the way, Steve and I will talk about the Oscars in our next segment. But Turning Point, The Bomb in the Cold War, a series on Netflix that's the documentary companion to Oppenheimer, I thought, at least the first episode was.
Yeah, and it picks up the from the bomb, how history sort of, you know, just started doing its thing, and then crazy stuff was happening. But there's a lot of footage that I have never seen before in this documentary.
It's really fascinating. And then finally, a Lindsay Lohan movie on streaming called Irish Wish, and we'll save our thoughts on that for when we get to it.
Oh, it's so sweet.
The Movie Show.
It's a fake laugh.
It's real.
On KSL News Radio.
I've been reading the book, MCU, How Marvel Ruled the Universe. That's a story about how just the whole Marvel Cinematic Universe was set up.
Yeah.
And so it's interesting. I was just actually reading yesterday about when they were making Guardians of the Galaxy and kind of how it came about. It's fascinating to me. I've been loving reading that. But, Steve, we wanted to – our text question of the week, we've already had some people respond because some people are already members of the Movie Show Club. And you can join the Movie Show Club by texting the word movie to 57500.
That's true.
And then you get to find out what the text question of the week is before the show starts.
Ooh.
There are often giveaways we will do during the week that you will only be able to win if you're a member of the Movie Show Club. So 57500, text the word movie. Some people are already saying their favorite Mark Wahlberg movie. And we've had one that said one that is not their favorite and that Mark Wahlberg should have avoided and that Steve guessed without even knowing. That was 2001's Planet of the Apes. There's one, somebody texted in, the one where he walks for his son. I think we were just barely talking about that.
Oh, that was the Joe one.
Joe Bell.
Joe Bell.
Here's some votes for Invincible, the one where he tries out for the Eagles.
Yep.
Couple votes for The Italian Job.
Okay.
Now, here's one I agree with, Daddy's Home. That one was really funny.
Yeah. Daddy's Home 2 was not.
Let's see. And then Father Stew.
Father Stew.
Yeah, that one would just list another vote for Italian Job. So keep them coming. Your favorite Mark Wahlberg movie, 57500. See, Steve, this last Sunday, do we have Oscars music by any chance? I don't think we do, but if we did, it'd be kind of cool to play it. Okay, there we go.
Wow. It was dead on.
So, Steve, we posted your Oscar picks.
Yeah, I probably shouldn't have done that.
So that's what we wanted to talk about now is what did you think of the Oscars? I would say that's the first Oscars broadcast I've ever watched in its entirety.
That is shocking.
It was the first one that I had watched for more than one or two awards since Titanic. And
wow.
I will say this, it was way more interesting having seen all the movies that they were talking about. So
I think, yeah,
for people that don't, I get it. But I will say if you've seen the movies, then that is a much more interesting thing to watch.
Well, there were a couple of things that really threw me off. Best animated feature.
So first of all, how did you do on your picks?
I was 17 and a half, so 76%.
17 and a half out of 23?
Yeah.
How did you get a half?
Well, because I had two people for one, and one of them won. So I guess.
Wait, you can't pick two in one category.
But it was the one I picked first. I said it's so close that it's going
to
be between
these
two.
Steve's the guy
with
the Scantron, like trying to race. Is this going to count both my answers? I should get half credit.
Okay, fine. 17 then. I'm under 76%, which is not good.
3 out of 4? That's not bad.
Nah, that's not good. Especially when I missed.
How are you on the biggies?
Well, I missed Best Actress. I thought it was going to be Lily
Gladstone.
Well,
you and Emma Stone.
Yeah, she was just as shocked as I was.
She looked terrified to accept the award. I will say, though, her tears felt honest and genuine.
Oh,
and
no question.
I was actually kind of moved by her speech.
I was, too. I thought she really thought Lily was going to take it, and so I think she was kind of shocked. The other one was Best Animated Feature, The Boy and the Heron. Come on. That's the least on that list.
I was kind of disappointed by that one
as well. I thought
it was
for sure it'd be Spider-Man. But we've already had a Spider-Man.
I would
have
accepted Spider-Man, or I would have accepted
Robot Dreams.
Yes, I would have been okay with Robot Dreams.
Yeah, but nobody saw it.
I know. But that one I would have been okay with.
I wrote boo.
What? I felt other than maybe. Let me see that list again. You've got the list right there.
Yeah.
Animated is Elemental. I thought Elemental was the worst of the five.
Mm.
But I just. I didn't. I maybe because when I saw The Boy and the Heron, I watched the Japanese with the English subtitles.
Oh, yeah.
And I felt like I was reading so much that. I missed out on some of the amazing visual and the hand-drawn animation and all that stuff, and I feel like I would have maybe liked it better if I'd have gotten to see the English language version.
Yeah. No, I did okay, but if you followed me, you probably lost.
Well, Steve apologizes to anyone who lost their pool because they made their picks match.
I did say, though, if your Aunt Martha beat you, then get over it.
Send us your thoughts on the, you know, one or two sentences about the Oscars to
how about the Pacino thing at the end?
Yeah, so... Yeah, there was some controversy, not controversy, but there was some chatter online. Why didn't they announce the 10 Best Picture nominees before Al Pacino read the winner? And my thought, I was surprised people were even chattering about that. I was a little surprised at first when he didn't do it, but then I thought, well, no, but every coming back from every commercial break was a long vignette about each of the 10 movies. If we'd had to watch 10 one-minute vignettes before they announced the winner, that would have derailed
the whole
thing.
Happened. the producer said, we're short on time. Don't do the list of 10. Just go out there and do the, you know, name the guy.
I thought it was funny watching people tweet about how looks like Al Pacino just rolled out of bed and walked straight onto the stage.
They have this history of taking these amazing aging actors and, you know, throwing them out there for the best picture. Maybe not do that.
Well, it was the 50th anniversary of him winning Best Actor for Godfather Part 2. But, yeah.
So I did like the part where they, in each category, they had people come out and at least the acting categories, they said you did an amazing job in this movie.
I did like that, yes. Having the personal introductions with five previous winners, I thought that was really well done. Yeah. So I hope they do that again. When I watch it again, next year.
In 20 years.
All right, so that is our movie show Oscars recap.
It's the KSL Movie Show.
What do we really sell? Sell dreams.
And imagination. And sparkle.
The week's big movie review, movie news, games, and prizes. Here's Andy Farnsworth and Steve Sales.
This guy's a lunatic, a psycho. He will eat you for breakfast. He won't even notice it, probably.
On KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
We've got people texting in on the text line about our question, you know, what did you like about this year's Oscars? You got to hear a little bit of what Steve and I liked. Here's somebody else who texted in and said, I enjoyed how they presented the Best Actor, Actress with the past winners doing intros.
Yes.
I thought that was kind of cool. That was one where they were worried. I was reading about it afterwards because that wasn't scripted very much, and each of the actors, you know, had talking points, but it was, they wanted it to be genuine and not necessarily read straight off of a prompter.
I thought they were all written, but no.
So, well, I mean, they wrote them. That's what I thought I read, so maybe I'm wrong. Let's see. Here's some more Mark Wahlberg. That's another question we had. Mark Wahlberg, favorite Mark Wahlberg movie. Here's a vote for Four Brothers.
Oh.
That was the one where they're in Australia, right? I feel like maybe that's a different one. And then here's a vote for The Perfect Storm, The Italian Job, and Invincible. So they like all three of those. Mark Wahlberg movie, The Other Guys is the best, all caps, 2 exclamation points.
That's a very funny movie.
Funniest movie ever. Our extended family quotes it all the time. It is good. If I want your opinion, I'll stick my hand. That was Sam Jackson's line in that. All right. Well, let's review, Steve, One Life.
I bet you got some stories.
That's really not about me.
We are working to evacuate these children by train to safety in Britain.
Why are you doing this, Mr. Winton?
Because I may be able to do something about it. I must.
This is another movie that's based on a true story. This one is even more, I believe, true to the actual facts of the story. And Steve, I'm not going to even hesitate. This one got me right in the feels.
Oh, no question.
One Life, starring Anthony Hopkins. It tells the story of a guy named Nicholas Winton, and he's an Englishman that was so moved by the plight of the refugees that were in Czechoslovakia during the buildup to World War II that he works with his mom, played by Helena Bonham Carter, and spearheads an effort that got almost 700 children, most of whom were Jewish, transported from Czechoslovakia and placed with foster families in Britain. And this was no easy task, as you find out watching this movie.
Oh, well, you had to have permits, you had to have train schedules, you had to have visas.
And you had to hope they didn't close the border,
yeah,
which could have happened at any moment.
Plus, you had to, the families had to be already set up, foster families, and they each had to pay £50. I mean, this is 1939, so
yeah.
I mean, that's a big chunk of change for these families that have, some of them had already sent their children to the countryside, and yet here they foster.
Well, and that's where Winton got the idea, and this is how he tried to sell, you know, some of the refugees. These were all people who lived in the Sudetenland that Hitler annexed and that the other European governments gave him, said, okay, fine, to avoid war, you can have it. So all those people fled to Prague. And they were just living in the street,
yeah.
Kids, families. And so he's like, we can do something at least for the children, even if we can't save the parents. The story jumps between Winton's efforts in 1938, 1939 as a young man, and then his older years in the 1980s when his story finally comes to the public's knowledge. And that's where you see Anthony Hopkins as the older version of Nick Winton.
Yeah.
And it was heartwarming and it was heartbreaking, and he's still haunted 40 years later. Even though he saved almost 700 kids, he's haunted by the ones he wasn't able to save.
Yeah, that last train, they never know what happened to it, what happened to those kids. And that's 8 trains got through and one didn't. And yeah, it haunted him his rest of his life. But what I liked about it was that he was a very pragmatic person. He wasn't, He didn't want any credit for anything. He just wanted their story to be told.
He didn't know what even happened to him. Once he got him out, like, he didn't just, like, follow up with them.
No.
He did everything he could. And then what I think, and they didn't say it in the movie, but I feel like he was kind of so devastated by that last train that that may be why he didn't necessarily. It also wasn't as easy to track people in 1940 to 1980 as it is now. But the when he does finally find out the good that he did, that is the scene that brought the tears.
And it's actually a moment that you kind of hoped Schindler's List would have had, but it just wasn't possible.
Point. It was a great point. This kind of I thought this as I was watching it. It felt a little bit like Schindler's List light, and I don't mean that in a negative way. It just means that this wasn't focusing on what was happening to people in the camps,
right.
But it was the same. He had the same feelings that Oscar Schindler did. Like, yeah, I did good, but oh, I wish I could have gotten even more.
Yeah, the visceral sensations that you got from Schindler's List, the horrific scenes are not in this movie, which I appreciated. We know that happened, and they kind of stuck with, you know, getting the kids out, and made you feel for all these. I really felt that maybe they should have focused a little bit on those poor families that are giving their kids.
I thought they did a good job with that. The scenes where they were the train was parting. That was one where I spent a lot of time pondering how I would have felt in that same situation. And but I think they did it really well altogether. And here's the thing: this is one's rated PG, so this one is one you can actually watch with the whole family. And I think this is a great introduction for younger kids as to what happened in history. And it's a way to, you know, you can explain however much or little detail you want about what happened to the families. But to me, this was an A.
I gave it a B+. I like
it. It squeezed enough tears out of me that I was like, I can't give this lesson an A for how this made me feel.
Oh, yeah. No, I wept openly. So, yeah, I can't really say it didn't get to me. But it's a great film, and people should see it. One Life.
One Life with Anthony Hopkins. And by the way, our big movie of the week was Arthur the King. We did have a couple people who were like, hey, what was that movie you were talking about at the beginning? Arthur the King. Really quick, Steve, let's review The American Society of Magical Negroes.
I want to take you to a job interview.
There's a recruiting class starting right now, and we got to get you in it.
Welcome to the American Society of Magical Negroes.
I don't really understand.
It's easier said.
Yeah, so basically there's a plot contrivance in a lot of movies. Think of The Legend of Bagger Vance or a lot of these different ones where, and they put the definition of what that is. It's kind of a derogatory way of having a black character in a movie who exists only to help the white protagonist get to their whatever realization that they need to come to.
Yeah, and Spike Lee made a big deal about this early on in his career, so it sounds like a crazy title, but...
Yeah, it's an intentional choice on the filmmaker's part.
Yeah, because it is a cinematic trope that has existed for years and years and years, and this is a satirical piece.
Uncle Remus would be another, even though he didn't have magic.
Yeah.
But that's kind of what they're saying. So in this, the plot is basically Justice Smith, who you heard in the clip, he's getting walked over. He's an artist. David Alan Grier recruits him and says, hey, I think you could be good at this job. And it's this society that has almost a Hogwarts feel, as you said to me.
Yeah, that's right.
Where they say, look, we need you here to help white people not feel bad. And I mean, we don't have a lot of time, unfortunately, to go into too much detail into the plot. But what I thought about the movie, it's a biting satire. And what I thought was really cool about it is that it does, speaking as the white guy watching the movie, it does for me what they're doing to the white characters in the movie as you're watching it. Because there's a scene towards the end where you get to what the real heart is and how this makes black people feel.
Yeah.
That I thought, wow, they just did to me watching this movie. That's how they built it up through the story to this moment so that I will take this moment as seriously as the character on screen who's getting told this would take. And I thought that was really well done.
Yeah, I had some problems with it. I thought it was a little loosey-goosey to me. I thought it would be even more biting, I guess, I was looking for. But
kind of like American Fiction?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So,
okay, so for me, I gave it a B. I mean, it wasn't perfect, but I also like the actress. There's she's Asian American actress. I don't It was the first time I'd seen her. I thought she did a really good job.
She was wonderful.
And Justice Smith did a good job, starting out as kind of just a pushover and then building up and finding his voice.
And David Alan Grier is always great.
So that's the American Society of Magical Negroes, and that is in theaters.
Movie reviews and Hollywood news. The KSL Movie Show.
Before we get to the movie show top 10, let's review Irish Wish, starring Lindsay Lohan.
Hi, Mom. I can't help but think that things would be different if I had told Paul how I felt.
You're gonna have to start speaking up for yourself.
It's too late now. I wish I was marrying Paul Kennedy.
What the? Paul?
So Irish Wish has Lohan in where else? Ireland. At her best friend's wedding. But it's to a guy that she had feelings for. That was the Paul that they named in the clip.
Yeah.
But when she wishes out loud that it was her marrying Paul, suddenly it comes true and she is the one getting married. But like most movies where wishes are granted, it doesn't go like the wisher wishes.
Well, that's pretty much sums it up. Boy, there's so much cheese flying through this film. I just like, oh, there is some cool
stuff. You started
scenes.
Taking up wine drinking?
No. Well, I think the name should be Irish Whiskey Required.
That's fair.
To make it through this movie because, wow.
I kind of felt like this is like rom-com for beginners stuff. It's safe. It's TVG. It's rated TVG. So
really G?
It really is rated TVG.
I didn't think anything got G anymore.
Yeah, this one is so harmless that it got rated TVG. And it's, you know, what I like watching Lindsay Lohan. And she was Lindsay Lohan in this. And she's starting to look, I'm starting to get more used to her slightly plastic surgery altered face. Wow. And so it's kind of nice. I liked her back in the 2000s, and it's kind of fun. But again, this is not I'm not going to lie. I actually sped up some of it.
So they talk like chipmunks?
No, they don't go that fast.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, I was looking at how much time I had left, and I was like, I feel like this scene I could watch at 1.5 speed.
Okay, two
thanks
things
to Netflix for that.
Two things that I did love about the scenery was gorgeous.
Those it was, yes.
Clips of whatever the heck. And the fact that they had a little Triumph TR4A and that they drove around in was so cool.
Steve's box art. I liked the car they had in this.
The car was incredible.
So that is Irish Wish, safe for all ages. For me, this was a C-.
It's a C. I give it a C.
Oh, that's generous of you.
Well, you know, because most people are going to see it or just want a, you know, a simple love story. And that's
what it is. It's simple and a love story.
Yep. That's got both of those.
That is Irish Wish. So let's do the movie show top 10.
10, 9. The KSL Movie Show. Top 10.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
All right, Steve. Movie show top 10. We've got, where did it go? There it is. The Chosen. Yeah, final episodes.
7 and 8.
Hits the top 10, number 10.
And it made $7 million, so good on it.
That is pretty good. Actually, wait, hang on a second. That is the one. Okay. And then number 9, we didn't get to watch this one, YOLO.
Yeah, this is the one where the little Chinese girl has a fight with her sister, and then she goes off and on her own and becomes a boxer. She's kind of a plus-size girl, so it's supposed to be a comedy, but she's pretty good at the boxing stuff. So
okay.
It's called YOLO.
All right, and then number 8, Migration. I cannot believe that is still in the top 10.
It has made almost $100 million in 12 weeks, so it's been a slow cooker. But
I mean, that's been in theaters for 3 months. The movies don't stay in theaters for 3 months anymore.
I know. Well, this one did.
Well, that makes you wonder what Kung Fu Panda 4 is going to do. Number 7, Madam Web. I'm a little surprised that is still in the top 10, to be honest. But
well,
it got a shout-out in the Oscars. Did you catch that?
Oh, yeah.
During John Mulaney's monologue thing.
Oh, Mulaney was so funny.
Because Madam Web was why they invented sound for the movie, so that we could hear lines like, he was with my mother when she was in the Amazon researching spiders before she died.
That was dumb.
Number 6,
but
Ordinary.
It made some good money. It's actually close to $100 million.
Uh-oh, we're running out of time, Steve.
Okay.
Ordinary Angels, number 6.
Good.
Bob Marley, One Love, number 5.
Good, I couldn't understand it.
Cabrini, number 4.
Excellent.
We liked it. Imaginary, number 3.
You saw it.
Dune Part 2, number 2. And Kung Fu Panda 4, number 1.
Yeah.
That is the movie show top 10.
It's the KSL Movie Show.
They won't fear it until they understand it. And they won't understand it until they've used it.
The week's big movie review, movie news, games, and prizes. Here's Andy Farnsworth and Steve Sales.
What are you doing here?
Thinking about turning our house into a nuclear power plant?
On KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
It's the movie show. Andy Farnsworth and Steve Sales, and we want to talk about the last theatrical movie of the week before we get into our big streaming. Is Love Lies Bleeding.
What is this place? You're looking pretty good in there. There's some pretty serious lines going.
Why don't you want me working for your dad?
Oh, he's a psycho.
This was one of two Kristen Stewart movies that debuted at Sundance 2024.
Yeah.
This one tells the story of a girl at a gym in New Mexico who was, it was New Mexico, I believe.
Yeah, I think so.
And she works at the gym. A girl comes in kind of drifting from out of town and starts working out at the gym. They fall for each other. One wants to become a professional bodybuilder. The girl that comes into town, Katie O'Brien, I think, is the actress who plays. She signed with a talent agency after Sundance with because they think this is going to be for. But there's lots going on. Kristen Stewart's got some family issues and
daddy issues.
This was just a super violent. It was billed as a lesbian love story, and it sure is that.
Yeah.
But really, kind of a hyper violent, kind of a crime thriller.
Yeah, I would have think that. I thought that Tarantino and David Lynch would have been like, man, I wish I'd have made that movie.
It did. I haven't seen a lot of David Lynch movies, but it did feel like a Tarantino now that you say that.
Yeah.
I will say it did have the jump scare of jump scares. I haven't jumped in a theater like one scene in that movie, because mostly because I wasn't thinking there would be a jump scare there, and it was.
Well, you know what?
I jumped.
There are some serious, difficult scenes to watch in this movie, but I thought Kristen Stewart trying to, you know, wrangle this whole thing and keep her girlfriend, like, calm down. And she's, like, the in-between the whole...
Oh, and they're doing... This is set in the 80s, I want to say.
Yeah, okay.
And...
I can't remember.
Yeah, it was definitely set in the 80s. I'd have to go back and look. But this was not a movie for me. For me, this one, as far as how I felt leaving it, you know, I do agree Kristen Stewart did a good job, but she does really good in everything she does.
Yeah.
But for me, this was like a D, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, it
I
is...
I did not like it.
It is definitely edgy, but I would give it probably a B-.
There was one funny part. Well, no, the funny part was my nickname for it, but at any rate, I don't want to give away a plot twist at the end for anybody who might actually want to see it. So that is Love Lies Bleeding. It's rated R.
You won't believe that Ted Harris playing looked like Riff Raff. So.
He's got no hair on top, but a whole bunch down the back.
Yep, all party in the back.
All right, let's get into our big streaming reviews.
Planning a weekend on the couch? Streaming your favorite movie or a new show? Andy and Steve sort through it all so you only binge the best. It's the Movie Show Streaming Reviews on KSL News Radio.
As far as I'm concerned, the big streaming review of the week is Manhunt on Apple TV Plus.
I was born with a chance to be somebody. I'm gonna be the most famous man in the whole world.
The Union is saved. The war is over.
Freedom for the South!
So this is it's a limited series. We're going to get one season of this, but that's because it's a story that has a beginning and an end.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's one of the most infamous events in American history, yet I would bet most people don't actually know anything about it other than it happened. And that's the assassination of Abraham Lincoln by John Wilkes Booth.
Sure, we know, you know, the Ford Theater and, you know, shot in the balcony and all that. But the detail, I mean, like the morning after, you know, he's been killed and the procession, he's got an old pine box. I mean, the details are
like
just
a crate.
Yeah.
They're bringing him out of the house where he died.
Right. This is the President of the United States. And they just, we couldn't find anything. And here it is. And it's raining. And I guarantee you that all those details actually feel like they happened in real life. That's how they sold it to me. I was watching this in every detail, like Parker, who was supposed to be watching the president in the booth. He was across the street having a beer.
Yeah. Did he have a beer with John Wilkes Booth? I don't know.
Yeah.
There are probably some historical things that I would like to look up to see, but he doesn't know that John Wilkes Booth is planning.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, I don't need to guard the president. Once he's seated, he's good.
Yeah.
And John Wilkes Booth is like, really?
Yeah, that helps me quite a bit.
But then, you know, I saw some chatter online that people think it's kind of glorifying Booth, and I don't think it is.
Oh, no.
I think what it was doing, and this is part of what fascinated me watching it, was it kind of like, okay, What was the thought process? How does somebody get to that? And what was John Wilkes Booth thinking? Because remember, it took him over a week to catch him.
Yeah.
What would John Wilkes Booth be thinking over that week after he's done what he's done? And I don't think people understand. I certainly didn't, and I'm not a history major, but, you know, this he was well-known.
Yeah, he was like, a famous actor.
He was well-known, as you could be, I mean, in an age without television.
It was funny because, I didn't realize that everybody knew who he was. So the moment they go, well, it was obviously John Wilkes Booth that shot him because he's a famous actor and he jumped on the stage. We all saw it.
Yeah, that part of the reason they didn't even think he really shot him. Was this part of the play?
Yeah.
Because here's an actor who works at this theater.
I'll tell you
who. My picture's not up there, he asks the owner at one point.
Yeah, that's true. The one that really moved me, though, was the Secretary of War, Stanton.
Tobias Menzies.
Plays the character.
Yeah.
And he's kind of in charge of all of trying to figure out what happened and how they're going to go about capturing Booth and who's involved, all the different people that were part of the conspiracy. It's so far, I've seen like three or four episodes. It's brilliant.
Yeah, and this is one, two episodes available now. They'll drop episodes weekly, so we cheat, Steve and I. Look, you know it's good when Steve and I cheat and watch ahead because we're like, okay, I'm glad I don't have to wait.
Yeah, because we have a ton of other stuff that we need to see. And so if we're going to spend time going three or four deep, it's definitely worth seeing.
Yeah. So Manhunt, for me, I gave it an A- so far. And I haven't seen all of it, but I mean, they'd have to fall off a cliff to drop it much below that.
Yeah, I think I could agree with that.
All right. Let's talk about Apples Never Fall.
You can spend a lifetime with someone as a wife or as a mother, but you can never really know who they are.
Now, this is based on a best-selling novel about a couple who run a tennis academy. I don't know if it's based on a true story, but it's based on a book.
The Delaneys or whatever.
Yeah, so it's Annette Bening and Sam Neill are a couple. Their kids, Jake Lacey, Allison Brie, and a newcomer whose name I didn't recognize. All grown kids. They ran a tennis academy. They retired. And then, I mean, it's almost hard to talk about this because you need to watch it because the way that they tell the story and they're piecing stuff together, I almost don't want to give away much of the story more than that. I had a good time not knowing what this was about at all and just watching it cold.
Well, we do know that the mom character
disappears.
So it's all a mystery about what happened to mom. She's been gone 4 or 5 days. She normally calls
the kids knew after one day because mom usually calls them like 50 times ever since she retired.
Exactly. And then they find her bike. And so it's sort of peeling the onion on this. And I like these kind of shows because you don't really know. Well, wait a minute. And then they got a stranger that's staying with them, Savannah. What's her deal?
Yeah, exactly.
And so, yeah, I'm intrigued.
So that's Apples Never Fall. I've watched the first two episodes.
So have
I think they dropped them all. I think. But. Yeah, maybe they didn't. Maybe this is one that's a weekly release, too. I know they dropped the first two because that's why I stopped with two. So that is called Apples Never Fall. Both of those shows, by the way, Manhunt, Apples Never Fall, are rated for mature audiences. We've got more streaming to come on The Movie Show when we get back.
The Movie Show. It is not a donut hole, but a smaller donut with its own hole. And our donut is not a hole at all. On KSL News Radio.
Steve, we asked our listeners favorite Mark Wahlberg movie, and we just got 3 votes in 1 text for The Italian Job. You can count me, my wife, and business partner.
Nice.
A lot of votes for Invincible also. But, Steve, we've got more streaming reviews to get to. Let's talk about The Bloody Hundredth.
In staggering numbers in air combat, one of these groups suffered so many casualties, it became known as The Bloody Hundredth.
Boy, I'll tell you, the B-17 was the flying fortress. These kids, you know, when they, after we got attacked at Pearl Harbor, they just joined. I mean, doctors, lawyers, everybody. And yet they were trained for just a couple of weeks. They go over there and they had never even been in a B-17. And they're flying these things.
Wow.
Out of the first 140 airmen that joined the 100th Division, 3 of the originals were left.
And, well, no wonder they called it the Bloody Hundredth thing.
Yeah,
because you weren't guaranteed to survive.
Well, the Luftwaffe, their pilots and the speed, they were just slaughtering. It wasn't until the P-51 Mustangs showed up. They had more speed. They could go more distance. And they were bombing clear deep into Germany. And so the fighters, the old fighters, they couldn't stay with them. And that's why they got so just slaughtered. And so,
oh, because the fighters are supposed to provide the protection for the bombers, right. And the old fighters for the U.S. couldn't
they don't,
provide
they had
the protection
because
the B-17s or the
B-17s, yeah,
were outpacing them. So then didn't have any protection when they got to the German fighters.
Exactly.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So that's why they were getting creamed. And when the P-51s came out, so this all came up before D-Day, and the idea was that we have to take out the Luftwaffe. We cannot have them have air superiority. And try to launch this D-Day invasion, and that was crucial. So it's a brilliant.
And it's one episode. It's a movie.
It's
basically.
It's an hour. You heard Tom Hanks and Steven Spielberg narrate this.
Oh, okay.
And you'll meet some of the guys that are actually in Masters in the Air, and the final episode airs to this weekend.
Okay, Masters. So this is a companion piece to Masters of the Air.
I would
this
say
is
watch
the actual
it.
Documentary.
I would say watch it first and then watch
and
Masters
then watch
in the
Air.
Series.
Okay, and that is on Apple TV Plus. Now we also have. We're not going to have time for sound, Corey. Turning Point: The Bomb and the Cold War. This is a documentary about Russia and the Cold War and the nuclear bomb. And I've watched two of the episodes. They're about an hour and 15 minutes each episode. So it's a time commitment. But it's so interesting, and it filled me in on so many things that I didn't personally know. I felt like episode one was a great companion to Oppenheimer. It gives you more of a thing that Oppenheimer didn't necessarily have time to focus on.
Plus, I saw footage that I've never seen before in any documentary. So Turning Point is brilliant. What are we looking at?
That's on Netflix.
Netflix. Okay.
And then we have Frida on Prime Video. I think we do have, if we have a clip from that. Oh, it's 90% in Spanish, so let's see.
Me pinto a mí misma porque soy lo que mejor conozco.
Okay. And I believe she said, I paint because I must. Actually, I don't think that's what she said, but she said it a lot in the movie. Did you get a chance to watch this
one? No, I did not.
Okay, so it's about Frida Kahlo, the Mexican art painter. She lived in the early 1900s. I didn't know really anything about her other than Salma Hayek had played her in a movie a few years ago.
I saw that movie, yes. She's great.
But this was what was good about this Prime Video version of Frida is they take her art and they kind of animate it a little bit, and it's – I've seen this done before, but they can break the painting down into the different layers of things, and then they can add the layers in animation style as if she's painting it on. Really cool, but it tells her life story, and you realize just how much of her actual life. She's like, I paint what I know, and how much of her actual life was in these. She was famous for being a surrealist, and I learned a lot of things about her, and I actually found it to be quite interesting, and I'm more interested now in her art. And now when I look at it, I can see it gave me context for her art. So
and plus physically challenged. I mean, she
was in a bus crash with a trolley that impaled her.
Yeah.
And so when you see paintings of her doing all these different, you know, her body is broken here and you start to see that's what
where
she
that comes from.
Yeah. She loved her body and she hated her body. I mean, that's what I got from it. She loved that it brought her pleasure and she hated how much pain it caused her.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's Frida and that is on Prime Video. It is rated R, but it is streaming. Okay. When we get back on the movie show, we will do telephone torture. So get ready because it's Steve's surprise.
Oh, yeah.
The KSL Movie Show. Telephone torture.
And it's time for telephone torture. We've tweaked telephone torture just a little bit to torture you and us just a tiny bit less in one way. We're still going to torture you who want to win the prize from our friends at the Larry H. Miller Megaplex Theaters. What we're going to do is Steve has a movie. It's a theme is a pet movie since we were talking about Arthur the King today with its star dog. So Steve has picked a movie that has a pet in it or a key feature pet or what is it?
An animal.
It's an animal. Okay. So it's an animal movie, I guess. And he's going to ask three questions. And here's the number, 801-575-8255. We're going to take three callers. You don't have to call in yet if you want. We're going to read the clues out over the air so everyone has a chance at them.
Okay.
But we will take three callers until we get either a correct answer or three wrong answers.
And however, I bet they get it on the first one.
And they might. But if you can't call in, we understand. We want to give you at least an outside chance. If you know the answer, text us the answer at 57500. But just know that if somebody calls in with the correct answer, no one will win on the text line.
Okay.
Let's make that clear up front. So,
gotcha.
Telephone torture sponsored by Megaplex. Steve, what is the first clue?
This story is about an Army Ranger who is assigned to escort a military dog to the funeral of a fallen friend.
I already know it.
I think most will know this. I tried to make this easy.
All right, so do we have any callers yet? We've got one. Hey, we've got one who wants to try their luck with one clue on telephone torture. Who's this?
This is Doak.
Doak, what do you think the answer is?
I didn't hear the question.
The heck?
All right,
Doak. And you've called before. I remember that name. This is a story about an army ranger who's assigned to escort a military dog to the funeral of a fallen friend.
What is your guess? If it's the one I think it is, you're going to kick yourself.
Yes.
Oh, jeez. I have no clue. I'm
all
sorry.
All right. Is that correct, Corey? All right, Doe, good luck. Thanks for calling. All right, Steve, give us your second clue.
Okay, in one scene, the ranger pretends to be a blind veteran with his seeing eye dog. They're trying to con their way into a fancy San Francisco hotel room.
This is the movie, and I liked this movie a lot. And we've already got some correct answers coming in on the I believe, because I don't know for sure.
Well, I think you do.
Do we have anyone on the line who wants to give it a shot? 801-575-8255. Do we have somebody on the line?
I am here.
Okay, who's this?
This is Adam.
Adam?
Yes.
Okay, Adam, what do you think the answer is?
I think the answer is dog.
Is that correct, Corey? Adam, congratulations. Did you see it?
I did. It was amazing.
It really was. It was emotional. It was funny. It was really, really well done. Channing Tatum. And what was the dog's name in it?
Lulu.
Lulu. It was a German Shepherd, right?
No, it was a Belgian Malinois.
Belgian Malinois. That is correct.
And I want one of those dogs. It's my next one.
That's the same dog that Halle Berry had in the John Wick, where they would fly through the air and bite people
Very
in
true.
Their happy zone.
Yep.
Well, congratulations, Adam. Stay on the line. You have won a prize package from the Megaplex Theaters, which consists of?
Consists of two tickets, two drinks. Dranks, as somebody said.
Yeah, somebody wants us to say dranks.
That's Doug's thing. But okay, I'll give you that one. two dranks and a tub of popcorn.
And what do you want to see? Have you seen Dune Part 2 yet?
Dune 2, yeah. That's the one we're waiting for. We haven't seen it yet.
Okay, use these on the IMAX because I do believe they're good for any movie.
That's true.
Okay, thank you guys so much.
Well, congratulations, Adam. Stay on the line, and you have won telephone torture.
You know,
on the text line, they're tortured because they answered
They got
correctly.
It, didn't they? Yeah. This film was inspired by him taking a road trip with his own dog named Lulu, who had been diagnosed with
cancer.
Director
or Channing Tatum?
Channing.
Did Channing direct this?
He co-directed it.
Co-directed it. Okay. Well, yes, it was really well. It was last year, wasn't it?
2022.
So that's one that's worth looking up to, the movie Dog, starring Channing Tatum. All right, Steve, before we go to break, we have enough time to talk about Snack Shack.
Oh, boy.
Do we have any audio? I don't think we did because I think we told Gustavo not to get it. All right. Oh, no worries.
You can ask if they need an extra hand.
With what?
That thing. Snack Shack. I think they bid it out at the city council meeting.
You bid $2,000 on the Snack Shack at the swimming pool.
Actually, we bid $3,000.
Oh, man. This place is wrecked.
Let's get to work.
Okay, so this tells the story of two teenage boys about 15 years old in the summer of 1991 in Nebraska City, Nebraska. They are two of the most enterprising young men that I've ever seen. They've got all kinds of business ideas, best friends for life. Well, they decide they're going to outbid the local bullies to run the Snack Shack at the local pool because they feel like they could really turn some cash this year.
By the way, that is the exact pool that this story is based on.
They shot it at the pool?
Yeah.
Ah, see, I did not know that.
Yeah, in Nebraska City.
So they bid. The clip you heard is they're at the council meeting, and they tried to feel out the other guys who were going to bid on it. And so they come up with $3,001 because they believed the other bid was going to be $3,000. And then they find out the other bid was like $250.
$300.
So they overpaid by a couple thousand. But that just motivates them more because now they've got to turn the profit.
So it sounds funny.
Yes. And it's a comedy, but it's like a coming of age. However, lots of caveats for our audience in particular. This is rated R for so much language. Now, I was 15 in 1991 in the summer. Yeah, granted, I grew up in Utah.
Boy,
I did. But I have never heard kids swear as much as these kids did. So that just
that. I don't
know
why I'm laughing, but that's...
And that's what it's rated R for that. Okay. Is language. But as far as like it's got kind of a fun coming of age, and of course the boys end up fighting over a girl.
Isn't she the lifeguard?
She is, and but at any rate, it's got all the marks of a coming of age. But it's a decent effort. It's just the language. It's blue. It is a blue language. Mm-hmm. And teenage smoking. There's a whole bunch of it. These kids rip through cigarettes like you wouldn't believe. So
those
are the only
warnings. I was
surprised
when you told me, I want to see Snack Shack. Okay.
Well, I was hoping it would be funny. It has kind of a Caddyshack vibe with a little bit, but they're a little younger. I don't know. Anyway, that's Snack Shack. It is rated R, and it is playing at multiple theaters, both Cinemark and Megaplex. So that's one you can look up.
It's the world-famous KSL Movie Show on KSL News Radio.
Steve, there is one other series that dropped on Netflix this week that we haven't had time to mention till now. It's called Girls 5 Eva, and it's the third season of what had first two seasons on Peacock, and it's a spoof about a girl band. They were a famous girl, quote unquote, famous girl band in the early 2000s. They had one hit, and then they've gotten back together for a unit. It stars Sarah Bareilles. It stars Busy Phillips. Who plays Wiki?
I like all.
And then it's, the one who played Angelica in Hamilton. I forget her name off the top of my head, but anyway, very talented people. They all sing. Sarah Bareilles is the find for me in this series because I'd never really seen her act, but she's really likable. Any rate, it's silly along the lines of 30 Rock, the one with Tina Fey. Mm. Silly along the lines of Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. So if that's your kind of thing. Girls 5 Eva. They're hoping now that it's on Netflix, it'll kind of get the audience it never got on Peacock. So there's that. Renee Elise Goldsberry, thank you. That was who plays Wiki Roy on it. Any rate, so Steve, before we do rapid fire.
Well, each week I write two reviews of maybe the two big movies of the week. And I'm hoping, I'm guessing that people don't know that they exist on KSLNewsRadio.com. And if you go and hit the menu and go to the movie show, the reviews will be there. And they're also put out on Facebook. And
if you sign up for the KSL News Radio daily email on Friday, you'll get it sent direct to you.
Okay.
Because it'll be featured in that email every Friday, assuming you write it in time.
Yeah, well, sometimes we don't get to see the movies until Thursday night, so that makes it tough. But in this case, it just gives you a little bit more information about, in this case, Arthur the King and One Life, which we both loved.
Yes. So, yes, make sure you check out Steve. He does spend a lot of time, and Steve is a talented writer, and that's what brought you to the movie show in the first place.
That's true. Well, I don't know about the talented part, but I have my own style, and it's just kind of more folksy and personal.
Yeah. So check that out at kslnewsradio.com. All right, Steve, let's rapid fire through what we talked about today. Quite a few things. There we go. Rapid fire.
Oh, we got
Woo!
It.
Arthur the King.
Love it.
I gave it an A-.
I gave it a B+, man, and I feel bad because that movie got to me. I actually, at the end, the studio reps, I'm like, those sons of guns, they got me. I cried, and they laughed.
They did. My whole family enjoyed it. Dog, Mark Wahlberg, you wouldn't think Arthur the King's about that, but you'd be wrong.
Yeah, no, it's the dog is amazing.
We've got One Life, which I actually gave a higher grade even than Arthur the King, starring Anthony Hopkins, telling the story of getting the Czechoslovakian children refugees out before World War II began and placed in England, and the power that determined people who want to do good can do.
Yeah, no question, especially with all the red tape that they had to go through. And it wasn't just him. There were a whole team of people, which I think some people are a little like, well, really, it wasn't all just about Nick, but it's a great film.
And I gave it an A. That is One Life. Then we've got Love Lies Bleeding, the Kristen Stewart Sundance movie. Hyper-violent, also stars Ed Harris. Had a couple moments. For me, though, it didn't click at all. I gave it a D.
I thought it was edgy, sort of a Tarantino meets David Lynch kind of film. So if you're into that and you're okay with it, it is violent. But I thought Kristen Stewart was really good in this.
And that was Love Lies Bleeding. We have the American Society of Magical Negroes, which don't let the name startle you, but it's basically it's a chance for it's a trope that's used in movies where the black person advances the white protagonist's case. And in this case, there's a secret magical society of that happening in the real world without the white people even knowing that it's going on.
Right.
But they basically do that to you, the viewer, to help you get to the point where they can tell you how that makes them feel. And I actually thought that was really well done. I gave it a B.
Okay.
Then we've got Snack Shack, which I saw, which you didn't get a chance to see. I forgot to give the letter grade. I gave it a C+. I just thought that the cussing was over the top, but it was clever, and it was me. I mean, I was 15 in 1991, so it was my age, but boy, that was not my life at all.
Yeah, I can see that.
On streaming, we have Apples Never Fall on Peacock.
A good little mystery involving the disappearance of the mom. And everybody seems to be a suspect. So it's one of those peel back the onion and you get little clues each episode. And so it's, you know, it's Annette Bening and, man.
Sam Neill
was, he was buff, wasn't he?
He's an angry tennis player.
Yeah, he is a very angry tennis player, that's true.
And Allison Brie, who I like in just about everything.
Her, yeah.
And Jake Lacy, who people don't know by name, but you see him and you're like, oh, I know that guy. I've seen him in other stuff. So it's a good mystery, and that one's Apples
hopefully,
Never Fall on
hopefully.
Peacock. Yeah, it's a good mystery through two episodes.
Right.
That's true. We got to talk about sticking the landing. We have Manhunt, which was my pick of the week on streaming on Apple TV+.
Boy, the detail that they go into, the terrible assassination of President Lincoln, and I mean, this is really the whole John Wilkes Booth and how he got away. And
the guy they got playing Booth is a really good actor.
Yeah, and I think that's good because
Hamish Linklater is Lincoln.
I thought he was a little weird at first, but he kind of grew on me.
Tobias Menzies as Secretary Stanton, I thought was really good.
He's almost like a Sherlock Holmes in this, where he's the guy that has to...
With asthma.
Oh, he does have asthma?
He has asthma. That's why he's like, you can hear that. If you ever know anybody with asthma, you can hear the... in some of the scenes. Like,
oh, really? I did not... Yeah. I mean, that's his... He literally has asthma?
No. The character
has character.
Asthma.
Oh. I didn't even notice that.
Yeah. And then we have Frida on Prime. So that was Manhunt, Apple TV+. Frida on Prime Video, a movie about the life of Frida Kahlo, I thought was very artistically done, and it gives you a great frame of reference on her work. The Bloody Hundredth.
Bloody Hundredth. This is a documentary that goes really well with Masters in the Air. Plus, we have the Irish film.
Irish Wish. Lindsay Lohan on Netflix. Easy, light, safe for the whole family, but...
Jeez.
There's not a lot. And then on Netflix, Turning Point, The Bomb and the Cold War, fascinating documentary about the bomb and the Cold War.
Yeah, it's good.